you need to communicate with your partner, not openly. They say open communication works. I say open communication doesn't work. Because in open communication, what happens? You speak whatever comes in your mind, you speak out. But that hurts your spouse. The words hurt your spouse unknowingly. So the thing is that effective communication will always work, and that you need to learn.
Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of Power of Passion. I'm Nivedita, the host for the show. In this show, I interview the inspiring personalities who follow their passion in order to help you to understand your inner potential and how to live your passion with a purpose and lead a meaningful life. Today, I'm super excited to invite the guest speaker of our show, who is India's only millennial marriage coach, who is none other than Leena Paranjpe. She has over 25 plus years of experience and has addressed over 4,000 couples to fulfill their marriage dream. She's also the author of the book, Detox Your Marriage. So to all the millennials out there, if you want to find your right partner and design your dream marriage and also understand the purpose of the marriage, or if you're going through any marital issues currently, and if you want to understand the root cause of it and bring back the intimacy back into your marriage, then this episode is for you. So without further ado, let's welcome Leena Paranjpe to our show and dive deep into our conversation. Hi, Leena.
Hi, Nivedita.
I'm so happy to have you on my show. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks, Nivedita, for inviting me here. And this is a great platform, I would say, to share the knowledge and the more important, the tips to, you know, to these vibrant and bold millennials to get their intimacy back in their marriage and enjoy their companionship in their marriage, mainly.
Yes, very much necessary for the current situation, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell me, Leena, what was your turning point in your life that made you to follow your passion of becoming a millennial marriage coach?
Since 1994, I was in the language training industry, and there I got an insight that people get connected with me very fast, and they used to reveal their personal worries with me in the personal interview session. That time I was not certified as a coach, definitely. But in 2016, somewhere what happened is, in my marriage, I went through many ups and downs. And there I used some techniques, you know, I created some solution-based actions, and that worked miraculously. In 2016, I thought, like, once I was out of this training industry, it was on auto mode, one of my business, School of Unique Life, my institute. And there I thought, let me give a thought somewhere that there are multiple marriage counselors in India. Still, the divorce rate is alarming. So something of the next level should be done, because only counseling is not working efficiently. Now, in that, I started thinking, let me take a call. If I could use all these things in my relationship, and why can't I take this and share those tips with this current generation? And that's how a coaching idea came into my mind. I took the certification from International Coach Federation, and I started exploring the coaching module into marriage.
Okay.
The people use this coaching module being in a business. So they become business coaches, life coaches, sales coach, mind coach, relationship coaches. I wanted to use it specifically in marriage, because once couples are getting married, somewhere something is missing and they feel that marriage is just not for them, or it is not working. So marriage system cannot be, you know, blamed for this. We are just not able to, you know, deal with the issues. So that's how the marriage coaching came into in my mind. And since 2016, the brand is established in that.
That's really awesome. As a millennial marriage coach, when the millennials come to you because of some problems, so what do you do and what makes you different from the other marriage counselors?
Yes. Here you are, you know, Nivedita, very appropriate question which you have asked. is like there are multiple marriage counselors, but still something is happening that there is no implementation part. Now, counseling, with due respect to all the counselors, it is very great and it is effective. But only guidance and giving the advices is not working. You need to implement it. You need to execute it into your marriage. And that's how, as a coach, I help the millennial individual spouses as well as newly engaged couples also to explore the more possibilities towards their destination. To explore more ideas, to, you know, go towards the solution by themselves. I work as a catalyst. I handhold, and it is more of, you know, the implementation part. It's more of an action-centric part. So coaching is more into getting involved in their marriage as a part of them and work as a catalyst. So the couple or the individual spouses become so strong enough that they never look back. They don't require Lina Paranspe's help then and thereafter. But specifically, I would like to say that mainly if you're going through the rough patch, I don't work with the couples. This is a very important thing because couple counseling, Nivedita, is failing in India. That's what my research and the experience tells.
So why do you think it's not working?
Counseling is more of a guidance and the advice. But once a person leaves that room or the clinic or the room where, you know, they are engaged with the counselor, that conversation, what guarantee is that they are going to implement those tips in their marriage? What is a guarantee that they are going to, you know, hold each other accountable and work as a team? So my role starts there. I hold them accountable. And that is how I don't work with the couples. I work with the individual spouse who is interested in restoring this relationship and who is interested in putting the right efforts to bring the fun in their companionship.
Wow, that's superb.
Yeah. So it's more of a, you know, that becomes as a game changer. Because if you start involving your partner, it is always the east and west for a couple. In every couple, it is, you know, east and west. So whatever you are going to do, the opposite thing, your partner is going to say that. So that doesn't work. So instead of that, let the results start speaking. That's how I work. And so the process starts. One partner who is interested in restoring this relationship takes the initiative, shows the courage. And that is only I choose to work with, definitely. And that's how he or she takes the charge. 90% their partner is wrong. They start taking the responsibility of that 10% from their point of view. So once they start taking this responsibility of maybe 10%, 5%, 1% also, it always starts, you know, revealing the things. The message and the signal goes to the partner's brain that somewhere she's changing, somewhere he's changing. He's not the same person, you know, who behaved, you know, 2 days back. This is a different reaction he is giving, or she's more understanding me. She's controlling on her anger. Some message goes to them. That's how the partner starts, you know, listening, get connected. And then you can make your partner realize his or her mistake. If you keep on giving a direct approach, globally, I'm talking about in global couples, it doesn't work. The direct approach never works. Nobody wants to get the instructions, you know.
Yes. What you said is very different, Talina. And I think from what you said, it will definitely work. But what if the other person is very adamant that they don't want to be in the marriage and the other person keeps taking efforts? Then the person who's keeping on taking effort, will they not get disappointed?
Yeah. So till now, I won't say that this person has not put their efforts. The person has definitely put the efforts, you know, to restore this relationship, but still they have not got the result. Why? Because they have put the efforts from their perspective and they have to put the efforts from the partner's perspective. They need to learn the language of their partner, and I actually coach them this language of marriage. There is a video on my YouTube channel. Listeners can definitely go and just get that. The language of millennial marriage. It's about, you know, lack of connectivity. They can understand because every couple, partner's languages is different. You need to love your partner, not from your perspective, but from your partner's perspective. Then only your partner will get connected with you. So unless and until I will not build the connection with my spouse, how am I going to give the message to him or her? How I'm going to make the person realize his or her mistake? he is not going to listen or she is not going to listen to you unless you get that connection.
That approach, what you said, is superb.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think are the issues that millennials actually face in the marriage when they come to you? What are the top issues that you see?
The top issues are, the first one is, I would say, lack of intimacy, number one. Lack of understanding, lack of patience, and the very important issue is parental interference.
Okay.
I would put it in this way, parental over-interference.
Yes.
Okay. And also the fifth issue is lack of humor, Nivedita.
Yeah.
The millennials are missing the humor in their marriage. They have made it so serious. Oh my God. I mean, marriage is a part of your life. It is not your life. You don't think about a soulmate and made for each other. Come on, where are you? Come. I mean, like, be wise and be smart enough and think rationally.
Yes. Nowadays, you know, the millennials are like, they want everything instantaneously. And like you said, the top five issues, parental over-interference is always there. That's been there for ages. But this intimacy, yes. This understanding and patience, why do we see a lot nowadays these kind of issues?
Because in the instant gratification world, you know, they are so active and they have become so instantaneous that they think that, you know, everything they want immediately. And that is why I think maybe because of the technical, you know, distractions, the patience is not there in this generation. It is not about blaming them. It's about they're so quick, bold, smart enough. They have the characteristics as they are, you know, very much energetic and smarter generation. I mean, but they are not using these characteristics in their personal life, that is marriage. They're using it for their career. They're using it, you know, for their professional life, but not in their marriage. So most of them, I would say, Nivedita, in search of space or getting, you know, being in a space, people are becoming lonely. We need to understand what are we doing and why are we doing what we are doing. That's very important. Human touch is missing in marriages. There is also this, you know, article had come, Cosmopolitan had taken the interview. So human touch is missing in today's marriage, I feel. You know, a simple gesture of love. You have become so mechanical and technical that you start solving your marital issue also in that way. And it will not work that way. Because marriage requires your emotions, your feelings, investment of your time. And it requires a subtle approach. It cannot be solved in the same, you know, I would say technically or mechanically, the way you solve your other problems and professional problems. So it requires that subtle approach. It requires to understand and learn your partner's language.
Okay. So how long does it usually take for a couple to get issues resolved? Because they have been raised in this way for many years, up to like 23 or 24 years. And then when they get into marriage, it's difficult for them to change at that point of time, right? So when they come to you and when they want their issues to get resolved, so how long does it usually take for them to come out of this conflicts?
Yeah. So in that case, I would say it's a blessing for me that within an hour, it doesn't take even an hour, Nivedita. I offer the clarity calls for 5 minutes and person gets connected with me in first 2 minutes.
Wow.
Once a person gets connected with me, he or she starts revealing their problem, maybe the current issue. And that's how if I get engaged in, you know, the process, they start listening. They are ready to change. They're ready to adapt to new things. They're ready to, you know, accept their mistake. That is what I'm saying. Marriage cannot be wrong. It is a very stable institution. You can't blame marriage just because you don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
Once the client gets, or, you know, millennial individual spouses get connected, I help them to understand the technique to deal with the marriage. Let me first of all tell that the divorces which are taking place nowadays in India, 70 to 72% cases are from IT department.
That's alarming.
Yeah, it's an alarming thing. Because these people are so technical and mechanical, they don't know how to just deal with this personal relationship. They don't know how to deal with these emotions and feelings. They start spending long hours in the offices, and that's what they feel that can be the solution. Actually, the thing is happening. There is a case study I would like to, you know, share here. An IT guy, I get a call from him. Like, Lena, I'm really, you know, disturbed with this marriage and I want to give her a divorce. I said, okay, fine. That is okay. I'm not a divorce lawyer that you have called me. He said, but no, I think you can do something. I mean, that is why I have called you. Let me just meet you. I said, okay, fine. So he came, he met me and we had a discussion. I said, you know, why your wife is engaged in the extramarital affair. She used to talk with her ex-boyfriend often. And he was really disturbed because of this. I said, you need to understand. You are just seeing the consequence of this. But you're not going to the deep issue. You know, the root issue might be different. And that's how it happened. I started working with him. I was not working with the wife. The husband was my client. I started working with him. And then we explored new things where the main issue was he was not able to, you know, afford time, the quality time with her. And that was a major issue. She was also a teacher and a millennial, of course, but she used to, you know, wash the clothes of a joint family, 4-5 members. She used to do all household chores and she used to go to her school. Everything she was managing last 2-2.5 years. Who would do that in this scenario or in this current generation? So that's how the things came and he started spending quality time with her. He started, you know, adoring her. He started appreciating her little things. And the moment she had actually left the home and she had gone at her parents' place 2.5 months back. And to surprise, within third session, she was there with me, along with him. So the thing is, she had blocked him on WhatsApp, no calls, nothing. The sessions gave him the insight. He raised his confidence and he went at her parents' place. He knelt down. I mean, he told that it was his fault, whatever it was. And that's how, you know, he built the connection. What I'm trying to tell you, he built the connection. That's how she came back. Today, they are the parents of a 1.5-year-old son.
Superb.
I'm not saying that parenting is a compulsive, you know, a mode. That was their conscious decision. That was their second project. But initially, they took the thing and they started living separately, Nivedita. That's what the sessions gave them the insight. Because they were living in a joint family and she was not getting that justice, you know, which she was longing for last 2.5 years.
Okay.
And that's how they started living separately and the sessions were going on. Usually, it is a 3 months ka course. 3 months, 6 months, and a year course. So within 3 months, you start getting the result. Even though your partner is not talking with you, you are staying separately last 2 years, 3 years also, you get the result in these 3 months. And I assure that once I get connected with the client, the very first time, the person, yes, the things happen. They start exploring. They start working on this. So here in this case, he actually put the efforts, the right efforts.
Right.
And that's how he worked. She also cooperated him because he took her out of that joint family. He gave her importance.
Mm.
That's how it worked.
Awesome. When there is so much issues in the marriage, you know, we somehow want to come out of it. We want that love be there in the marriage. And it's really nice what you are doing, Lena. Let's talk about this parental interference. So what is your suggestions to couples whose marriage have a lot of parental interference? How should they deal with it?
Let me tell you here very bluntly, openly that, you know, once the couple gets married, they require their V time. They have to work as a team. So that time, addressing towards the parents, I'm telling that please don't bring your love, your care, your possessiveness, whatever you want to call it as, or your guidance. Because what happens is, unknowingly, your guidance turns into interference. Till now, you have raised your child, you have helped him or her to build their career and settle in the professional life. But afterwards, once he or she gets married, it is their responsibility to get the connection built, to build the bond, to work on their marriage. You know, to build the plinth, the base of their relationship. So even though you want or you are passionate enough or you are, you know, possessive enough or you want to show your care and love, unless and until they have asked you, please don't poke your nose. Please don't go and help them because your help will be understood by your son or your daughter, but not your son-in-law and not your daughter-in-law. Because that's a new partner, that's a new member in the family. So he or she requires a time to, you know, get settled in this relationship. So unless and until the couple asks, please don't go for it. If they ask, give them their space. Let them fall. Let them fight. Let them go through their frictional phase. Because unless and until, if they will not go through that, they are not going to learn. They are not going to learn with this experience. It takes minimum 6 months to 2 years. So the millennial couple has to have the patience at least to build this bond for 2 years. So first 2 years, the couple needs to stay separately, not in a joint family. Please, please. It's a request I'm requesting to all the listeners here. Please don't go into that emotional phase and get emotional that joint family is very good for me. I've stayed in my joint family. I will accept his family. Please don't do that. You need to build a relationship, a bond with your partner first and then with his family members.
Whatever you have said is mostly for the parents. The husband is the main person who has to bridge that connection between his mom and his wife. The wife is coming newly to his family. What stand should he take in order to make the connection smooth and not get any issues between his mom and his wife?
Let me be very open here and honest here. Today's millennial guys, today's millennial husbands, they are under the influence of their parents, especially their mothers.
Exactly.
And plus one thing is, today's millennial, I'm talking very generic. It's not specifically I'm mentioning about it, but whatever the experience I have, you know, got in dealing with these cases I'm talking about. Today's millennial husbands are more emotional than today's wives. Today's boys are more emotional than today's girls because today's girls are becoming more practical enough.
That's true.
It is not that they are not emotional. They are emotional, but their practicality is, you know, the plus side. So what happens is this guy who wants to get married, he has to show the courage to take his own decisions. He has to have that decision-making power, you know, where he will be able to give the justice to his newlywed partner. If you are only not going to talk with your mother, because what they feel is, they see till 30 years, maybe 29, 28, whichever years they have, you know, born and brought up with their parents, they have never ever raised any voice or they have never ever said no to their mothers. And that is why, that is the root cause that after marriage, suddenly, it becomes very difficult for them to take her side, take their newlywed partner's side and say no to their mother. But that is why I'm saying before marriage itself, build your courage, build your confidence. It is not that we are doing any disrespect towards your parents and your mothers. But it is about, you know, taking the space and giving the space to your partner and giving her the priority in this patch of life. After 2 years, once your bond is created, when you say your partner is connected with you, you can definitely get reconnected with your mothers. That time your wife will be able to, you know, support you more. Because in these 2 years, your partner requires the time. Your parents are pretty good enough to understand you more. But your partner is very new with you. She will take more time to understand you. And she requires that time. She deserves that time. So you need to be courageous enough. We need to be clear enough, decision-making power you should have, and you need to learn to say no to your parents in particular situations. It is not about disrespecting. It's about giving the priority to your newlywed wife right now.
True. Everybody was very stressful in the lockdown. Even when we are in the married life or not in the married life, still when we are sitting inside the four walls. So we were feeling very stressed. And my friends who are married, they were feeling miserable. They were saying like, I cannot sit at home looking at her face or looking at his face. The husband is complaining about the wife. Wife is complaining about the husband. So, and this lockdown is still going to continue at least for some years, I guess so.
Yeah.
Did you see any increase in conflicts during this time? And what do you think is the solution for the couples who are actually in the lockdown period when they're having conflicts and they have to stay in the house?
Yeah. So I feel this is for the very first time that they are going to stay for 24/7 after their honeymoon. So it is applicable not with the newlywed. It is applicable for all the married couples I'm talking about, including me.
Uh-huh.
So after the honeymoon, this is for the first time that you have been together, you know, 24/7.
Correct.
So now the point is, like, restoring and working on your relationship to fix your marriage, it cannot be a punishment. This is the time actually you have got, you know, that it can work as a blessing in disguise for you. The current lockdown is teaching you to be stable, calm, and a little bit of patience, you know, you need to keep. So what is happening is all these days you were unstable. You were complaining against your partner. You were having that blame game. But right now also, if you remain the same thing and you will bring the same stress, anxiety, and depression, then what lesson are you learning from this? I can understand that you are going through the friction. But the main point is, do you want to come out of this? Do you want to, you know, go for the solution mode? So here I would like to share some do's and don'ts. Is that okay?
Definitely. Yes, please share.
Yeah. So I will share some 3 do's here that you need to communicate with your partner, not openly. They say open communication works. I say open communication doesn't work. Because in open communication, what happens? You speak whatever comes in your mind, you speak out. But that hurts your spouse. The words don't hurt your spouse unknowingly. So the thing is that effective communication will always work, and that you need to learn. So how you speak, what you don't speak, when you speak matters a lot. So the first point is effective communication. You learn it and then you start applying this with your partner. So open communication instead of that, shift to the effective communication. The second tip which I would like to give here is start giving space to your partner. Your partner doesn't have to plead and, you know, ask and run away from you and, you know, search for his or her space. You need to give space to each other, maybe 3-4 hours a day, but you give that space. Both are working from, you know, home. Maybe one might be going out now offline, but one partner is at least working from home. So give space to yourself consciously. Then the third point, it will be somewhere you need to create the humor. You need to create the humor. You can't take all the things so seriously about it. There are frictions, there are problems, but if we want to go to the solution mode, somewhere we need to come on a common platform, at least to get the settlement done. At least if you want your partner to listen to you. So for that, you need to build that reconnection. The connectivity is lost. So you need to build that reconnection, I should say. If you want to reconnect with your partner, change yourself, little bit of it. Please don't bring your women empowerment tips here. It is not going to help you. Come on. It's your conscious choice and it's your partner. So you need to take the responsibility of your relationship from your point of view. In that, if you use effective communication, if you start using some, you know, different approach, maybe a subtle approach, maybe start using some humor, maybe start addressing, you know, very effectively that, yes, it was my mistake from my end. Now I want to come out of it and I want you to help me to do this. It would be a great thing. You can start appreciating for little things, you know, of your spouse. So these are the 3-4 tips which are very important to do in this lockdown. And the don't is, the number one don't is, do not instruct your spouse. Please, please, please. The instructions are like, they make your marriage toxic and your partner is going to, you know, avoid you. Definitely. So don't instruct. It cannot be. See, if you want something, see, I'm looking for it. Can you please help me to, you know, search this? Because even I want it. You can have the different way. You can have a very subtle way or a different approach, the indirect approach too. This is not about, please don't bring our ego in this, I feel. The second don't is, don't raise the same topic again and again and crib on that. It is going to irritate your spouse, and most of the spouses are irritated. I have seen in my marriage, I used to raise same topic. Let me agree this. I used to raise the same topic with Suhas and he used to get irritated and I was not knowing how to, you know, come out of it because I'm more emotional person. So words used to hurt, words used to be very painful for me. But then I worked on this. That is why I want to share my own story here. So don't repeat, don't raise the same topic again and again. It irritates your spouse. You don't go anywhere. You just be in that complaint zone and you don't come out of it. And the third don't is don't react. That's more important. If you can respond, that is good. But on the action, if you also keep on reacting, it is again going to create a chaos and not going to give you the solution. It's a more important tip, I feel. And for this, you need to, maybe you can take some couple activities. Quickly, I'm sharing 3-4 activities where, you know, you can talk about the topic which is not related with corona. The media is constantly talking about it. Don't please go on, you know, continuously talking about it. Somewhere you can talk about discussing some different topics so that, you know, you can talk about your future goals, your interest. You can talk about your kids' academics, their career plans. You can get engaged with the couple games together. The games like puzzles, carom, maybe online games together involving your kids. That also will work. And the third activity which I feel is like you both, you can clean your home together. You can have that productive day and you can plan your meals. You can cook together. Try new recipes. It will definitely work. So encourage each other, you know, instead of making saddened and discouraged, encourage each other. If you are looking for the peace and silence, work as a team. I feel so.
Wow. It's awesome. Do's and don'ts you've given and all the tips you've given. It's superb. I think it's going to spark that love back into your marriage if we follow your tips.
Yeah.
How do you think is the divorce rate in India compared to the other countries? Could you share some statistics over that?
Yeah. So in Western countries, no, in Australia or Canada, US, the divorce rate is ranging between 40 to 50%. In US, it is 50%. In Canada, it is 42%. In Australia, it is 40%. So compared to that, Asian countries, like in China, it is 9%. In India, it is 1%. So there is a lot of relaxation right now. But last decade, if we go through it, only in India, there was one case out of 1,000. So now it has started getting 13 cases out of 1,000. So slowly, steadily, the number is increasing. And in corona, what has happened is, I had a word with the principal judges. They are good friends of mine. So they have started sharing that every day they have started getting, you know, somewhere 400 to 440 cases per day, which was initially only 200, 250 cases. That was also a great number. But now though it is 400 to 400 because couples don't know how to solve the things. And here we are with the solutions. It's my humble request here. Please address your issue. Come forward and start. It's not about, you know, compromising. It's not about, you know, at the cost of your self-respect, we will help you. But come forward at least to, you know, put that effort to fix the issue, to resolve the issue, to get the clarity. Once you take your responsibility and you put your efforts, maybe that 10%. And afterwards, if it is not still working, please get out of it. Come out of that toxic relationship. But if it works, it works wonderfully. So according to the statistics, like India, we are actually having, you know, this 1% rate. But slowly, steadily, you know, Nivedita, it is a saddening thing that we are going towards the westernization. The Western countries have started understanding the value of a relationship, while as we are coming out of it, we feel, you know, being lonely is the super new normal. And that is why we are trying to become more independent. The independence will never work in marriage. It never works. Financial independence, I can understand. Everybody should have. You, me, everybody. But in marriage, the independence never works. What works is interdependence.
Wow.
It's always interdependence. I am dependent on you is not a weakness. Because you are making him also dependent on you.
Perfect. Loved what you said. Okay. So, Lena, we have had a really deep conversation about marriage and the intimacy issues. So many things that you have spoken about. So, let's chill and go for a rapid fire round. Okay. Where I'll be asking you 10 questions. And you can answer whatever comes to your mind first. Okay. Okay. So, what's your dream vacation?
Mauritius.
Wow. Okay. What is the craziest thing you have done so far?
I'm married to Suhas, my husband.
Oh. Oh my God.
Because we are completely poles apart.
Okay.
Totally. It was not at all possible. And still, you know, I mean, that I showed that courage and we discussed on this. And yes, I married to him. That's the craziest thing. Nobody would have thought of that.
Seriously, this is the craziest answer I've ever had from a guest speaker.
And that too from a millennial marriage coach.
Exactly. Okay. If you would want to be a fictional character, who would it be?
I'm not getting the answer right now. I'm so sorry.
No worries. When you think of home, what do you imagine?
Warmth, peace, family, happiness, giggling.
All good things come to your mind. That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
What was your deepest fear and how did you overcome it?
Yeah. So the deepest fear was maintaining a relationship. Yes, I have come over it. And now I'm actually helping the couples restore their relationship and also come out of their toxic relationship.
That's super. Okay, if you didn't have to do one household chore, what would that be?
Cleaning the utensils.
Okay. What makes you feel the most peaceful?
Peaceful, I would say. My space.
Being with yourself?
Yeah.
Oh. The book that you recommend to the readers?
I can say The Autobiography of a Yogi. That's a wonderful book. Yeah. It will take you towards a journey of understanding your own self. And it will help you to get connected. The self-connected, I mean. It's from Paramhansa Yogananda. I mean.
Great. If you were to time travel, what would you be doing?
I would be in college, roaming with my friends and enjoying those competitions.
Very nice. I think for most of them, it's like that. They want to go back to their college times. Yeah. Or it's school times. Okay. What is the best lesson you have learned so far in your life?
Value a person.
Awesome. There's one more question before we move on to that. What is your advice to the people who want to follow their passion and take that up as their career?
If you want to follow your passion, just don't get emotional to it. Get connected. Think the advantages, disadvantages. Think about the rational, you know, a way to put this passion into the reality and then go for it. Nobody can stop you.
Okay. How can the listeners connect to you? And if you have any message to the listeners, you can share that also.
So I would say I'm just a call away. I mean, you can check on my website and you can book a clarity call and I'm there for you. That's one thing. And even I'm available on social media platforms. So you can get connected on LinkedIn. You can get connected on Insta. So these are things. The message, oh my God. It's like couples marry in pursuit of happiness. And they take divorce in search of happiness. So you need to create your own marriage story consciously. Otherwise, don't get married. Simply live your singlehood. Live and enjoy your single life. Nobody is forcing you. Nobody can force you.
Yes. Only when we are in that mindset of going into a marriage, we should.
Yeah. So I will end this with a note like a great marriage is not when the perfect partners come together. It is when the imperfect, couples learn to enjoy the differences. When you start enjoying the differences, that's how you start, enjoying your relationship, your companionship. Nobody is perfect. Perfection is outdated nowadays.
Very nice. Okay, so now we have come to the last round of this section. And the question is, if you are given the power to change the world in a day, what is that one thing you will do?
I'll spread humanity, which is missing in today's humans.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, Lina, it was wonderful talking to you. You have shared so much insights about what to look for in a marriage and what are the issues that millennials are currently facing, how to bring that love back, and what should a millennial guy do when there are parental interferences, and what are the do's and don'ts. And the awesome tips you have given when the couples are in a lockdown situation. The thing that I like the most is you mentioned about interdependence, which was mind-blowing what you said. And all the best for all your future endeavors. And I'm sure you're going to bring the spark in most millennial marriage couples. I'm sure they're going to get in touch with you and they're going to get their love restored in their marriage life. And I'm very happy for what you're doing, because everybody's dream in this world to have a loving, caring and an understanding partner. And you're bringing the spark into their life through your coaching, which is absolutely amazing. And thanks for that. Keep doing it. All the best.
So first of all, Nivedita, let me thank you for, you know, giving this opportunity. I'm sure that millennials will take the advantage of this. Yes. And I would like to thank you for the questions which you designed and the way you have asked and the way you got connected with me. It's really awesome. You are really doing a great job in as a podcaster, I mean, I should say. So congratulations for that. Keep doing and keep rocking and keep exploring more and more, you know, stories for the people, for these audience.
Definitely. And I'm so touched by your words. And thank you so much again for coming to my show. Yeah. You have shared so many tips through my podcast. I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. And to all the listeners who would like to connect to her on social media, the social media handles are shared in the description below. And thank you so much, guys, for your time and listening to this episode. I'm sure it would have added a lot of value to your life and given you clarity of how to live your passion with a purpose. So if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do subscribe to my podcast and share it with your family, friends, and colleagues and give it a 5-star rating. Please don't forget to share your comments on what you think about this episode. You can connect to me on Instagram at Power of Passion. I will catch you next week on another inspiring episode of Power of Passion. Until then, stay safe and most importantly, do what you love. Thank you.